I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Ballot Talks on Radio Times. The Republican presidential candidates have been dominating the news with the debates last week. And of course, Donald Trump, who's been dominating the coverage of his adopted party. Well, we're not going to talk about that today on the show. Instead, we'll be focusing on what the Democrats running for president have been up to. Bernie Sanders has been speaking to huge audiences and trying to fend off interruptions from Black Lives Matter activists. Hillary Clinton has been laying out her policies through a series of speeches and agreed to hand over her private hard drive to the FBI that she used while she was Secretary of State. The other candidates include Martin O'Malley, Jim Webb, and Lincoln Chafee. There's been some speculation about whether Vice President Joe Biden will jump into the race. We have two guests who have joined us in this hour of Radio Times, and joining us by telephone is Robert Draper. He's an author, writer for the New York Times Magazine, and also for National Geographic. And Robert Draper, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me on, Marty.
And also with us and here with us in our Philadelphia studio is Neil Oxman. He's a Democratic political strategist, president of the Campaign Group, which is located here in Philadelphia. Normally, Neil's with us talking about movies, but today we're talking about politics. And Neil, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Good morning, Marty.
Robert, let me begin with you and begin with the fact that so few Democrats want to be president compared to the numbers of Republicans that want to be president of the United States. How do you understand, I guess, this disparity?
Well, the disparity largely owes to the fact that it's widely viewed as Hillary Clinton's contest to lose, and she casts a formidable shadow over other potential Democratic candidates. She, you know, gave Barack Obama a run for his money in 2008. Indeed, was originally believed to be the prohibitive favorite to win back then. So that's part of it. I think additionally, though, the Democrats don't have a terribly strong bench. And if you assume that the Democrats would lose in 2016, it's difficult to say who then would be the next step for the following election. I think that what we're seeing on the Republican side is, certainly relative to 2012, which was something of akin of to a Star Wars bar of candidates, they do have a number of senators and governors, as well as people who come from outside politics who offer kind of intriguing choices. The Democrats just lack that at the moment.
Well, Neil, looking back at Hillary Rodham Clinton, let's say 6 months ago, it seemed like a kind of a slow-mo coronation for her to win the Democratic nomination. It's a very different situation today.
Well, yeah. When she was Secretary of State, she was literally the most popular public figure in the United States. Her favorable among everybody, not just Democrats, was well in the 60s. And she was she had a much smaller unfavorable than she does now. Since she's been running and has become partisan, her poll numbers have literally turned upside down. And I've always likened her to sort of – I mean, this is horrible, but she reminds me of sort of a bad 1930s or 40s B-movie actress. There's something about her that just – it is Amy Poehler's caricature of her on Saturday Night Live or what Kate McKinnon is doing now. I mean, they're actually going to do to her what Tina Fey did to Sarah Palin, 8 years ago or 4 years ago, whenever it was. And there's just something about her that is a little out of step. And of course, now that she's running as a Democrat, that nonpartisan sort of most admired person because she's out there as Secretary of State defending the country has gone away.
Is this the same Hillary Clinton that you saw running against Barack Obama? Is that the same person you recognize?
I think she's even more cautious now than she was in the 2008 campaign. And in one sense, that's good because I think the more she's hidden and the more the Republicans have their little sort of sideshow that's going on, the better it is for her. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she's, her husband, who was a great entertainer, as Ronald Reagan was a great entertainer, and they were popular because they connect, as Obama was. She does not have that. The wild card, of course, is she's a woman, and women want a woman to be president of the United States, and it matters. And I think that for a Democratic nomination, that could overcome it.
Robert, I'm curious, and this is about Hillary Clinton, whether the press is overly critical of her, has a higher standard for her than other candidates, or whether there's something about her that invites this kind of criticism?
Well, it's an interesting question, and I'm not quite sure what the answer is. It's true that there has been a combative, at best, relationship between Secretary Clinton and the press going back ages, really. But we've seen it, I think, metastasize into some real ugliness in this campaign. I mean, when it comes to a point where the press are literally roped off as if they were, you know, rodeo animals or something during a campaign event, you know that something has gone off the rails. And I'm friends with a lot of – I'm covering the Republican side of the ledger for the most part. I'm friends with a lot of reporters who are covering the Clinton campaign. And it's not that they, carry any kind of animus towards her, but it's a daily frustration trying to get answers from a campaign that is, as Neil was saying, I mean, she's still the odds-on favorite to win the nomination. It's all but coronated, and so it doesn't serve her to be out there taking a whole lot of chances, taking a lot of swings. Even now, we'll see, because Bernie Sanders has been commanding these rather large crowds, and is, for the moment at least, the favorite in New Hampshire. Whether that brings her out of her shell remains to be seen.
Well, let me talk with you a bit, both of you, a bit about Bernie Sanders, who has, I think, in Los Angeles, something like 27,000 people came out to see him give a speech. He has been drawing, I think, the largest crowds of all the candidates on both sides. What do you see as his appeal, Neil?
Well, I think his appeal is that he is on the way that Donald Trump is representing the frustration on the right. Bernie Sanders is representing the frustration on the left. 10,000 people in Madison, Wisconsin, 19,000 people in Portland, Oregon, the Boston Herald poll showing him leading Hillary Clinton, New Hampshire, 44-37, even though he's still behind in Iowa. But he represents the young people, millennials, people under 35, are what they're doing for Bernie Sanders on social networking can't be duplicated with television ads or old-time political sort of hierarchy. And it is something that's going on that is a true grassroots movement where he represents sort of telling it like it is, not in an insane way like Donald Trump is.
I mean, he actually believes what he says.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
he's been a political
activist on the left since the 1960s against the war in Vietnam, although he's very restrained. Yesterday on the national news, his comment about Hillary when he was asked by the press to comment about the problem with the emails and all that stuff, he said, "I'm not going to criticize Hillary Clinton. I like Hillary Clinton. I respect her. We disagree about issues." That's certainly a lot different than the kind of rhetoric you hear from Trump and some of the people on the right on the Republican side. And that is resonating with a lot of people.
Robert, Neil and I were talking about this before going on the air, and perhaps it's just my ignorance of our political system, but I don't understand why Bernie Sanders is running as a Democrat, because he caucuses with the Democrats, but he's not a member of the Democratic Party.
No, but just as Rand Paul has been at least for a while, as he describes it, libertarian-ish, he's chosen to cast his lot with the Republicans. Sanders apparently believes that the way to operate within the American political system is through its standing two-party system, and in fact, he is a faithful vote for Democrats, and so there's really no other place for him to be other than an independent. And the best that anybody has done as an independent is Ross Perot, who only got a very small handful of electoral votes. So I also want to add that I think part of Bernie Sanders' appeal owes to the fact that for the most part, I don't think Democrats are comfortable with a coronation of Hillary Clinton. I think they'd like to hear an alternative view to her, and they'd like to see her actually work to get the nomination. That, in addition to the fact that as Neil was saying, Sanders on the left does what Trump does on the right, which is you know, in the view of those people who are attracted to them, speaking truth to power in a way that the other candidates are not.
And I can guarantee you people listening to us who support Bernie Sanders hate that comparison between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. I mean, they see them as two, and they are.
Oh, they are opposites.
I mean, yes,
but they're they're resonating with a group of people, certain people on the left, the way Trump is resonating with people on the right. I mean, I'm not comparing them at all. I think Bernie Sanders is a much more responsible human being than Donald Trump. I don't think he's going to win the presidential nomination. But interestingly, what he's doing is he's sucking all the oxygen out of the room for some of the other people, Jim Webb and especially Martin O'Malley, who people could, quote, see as president of the United States, a former governor of Maryland, former mayor of Baltimore, sort of has the more mainline credentials one would see. And, you know, he's literally registering one of these polls.
Well, and I wonder, too, Robert, how much pressure you think Bernie Sanders has put on Hillary Clinton to be a little more outspoken about where she stands on issues. She's had a number of policy papers as well. As you both have been saying, there's a kind of caution that she has about running for elective office. Do you see, though, that she is responding to Sanders in some kind of way, Robert?
Well, I think it predates Sanders' candidacy. I mean, the short answer is yes, but the somewhat longer answer is she's been doing this really since she's seen the kind of noise, the kind of enthusiasm that's been generated by Senator Elizabeth Warren. And the progressive wing of the Democratic Party has been excited about Warren to the point of, you know, trying to recruit her for a candidacy, something that, as it turned out, is a non-starter. And I think, you know, she recognizes that that's the Democratic base. And she's got to generate some interest in from them. You know, all this, I think, owes itself to the fact that this has been sort of the mystery relating to Hillary Clinton, that, you know, her husband had a record as governor to stand on before he ran for president. But it's never been altogether clear precisely what Hillary Clinton stands for, what her belief system is separate and apart from that of her husband. And I don't think we have a clear picture of that from her record as senator, and of course, for that matter, as Secretary of State. She was viewed, as Neil said, as a very, very popular figure because she seemed statesmanlike or stateswomanlike when she served in the Obama cabinet as Secretary of State. But the moment that it became clear that she was going to run for president, the old questions began to emerge about Hillary Clinton and her quote-unquote authenticity problem.
And we're almost having a break here, but Robert, back to you. You're saying people that she's still a mystery, even though she was First Lady, Secretary of State, a senator in Congress?
I think so, yeah. I think that if you ask most people, you know, what does she stand for on particular issues, I think that it remains unclear. They have a sense of her persona and could describe to you certain characteristics about her, some of them laudable, some of them less so. But in terms of, you know, to what degree, I mean, she really worked as a senator to project herself as a military hawk. Is that really, you know, her view of the world? Is she sort of to the right of Obama on a lot of defense issues? And for that matter, on social issues, she was more of a centrist than anything else, came out very late in favor of same-sex marriage, and yet is viewed you know, by the right as a reflexively liberal individual. So I think there's a lot of disclarity as to what she stands for.
Well, this is Ballot Talks on Radio Times, and we're talking about some of the Democrats running for president, including Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Robert Draper writes for the New York Times Magazine, also for National Geographic. Neil Oxman is a Democratic political strategist and the head of the campaign group here in Philadelphia. Much more after this very short break. Do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times. I'm talking with Neil Oxman and Robert Draper about some of the Democrats running for the presidency. And we want to hear from you. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation. We were talking during the break. We have a slight advantage down here, Robert, in that Neil and I can talk to us during the break, and I just want to make sure you and the listeners are part of that conversation as well. But you were saying some other things about Hillary Clinton.
Well, I mean, she's very cautious, as Robert was saying, and in a sense, people – I agree with Robert that there's a certain way that people don't know her. But there is – it's not that she's disingenuous, but there's just something a little out of step with her that's not as natural as it is with some other politicians that you like. Obviously, Bernie Sanders sort of is a New York guy with a Brooklyn accent representing Vermont is doing something when he speaks to people that gets a different kind of reaction than Hillary is getting.
Because of his hair?
Whatever it is, it is that intangible thing that makes you like some people on TV and like some people in the movies and like some sports figures and political figures, and you just sort of feel out of sync with others. And there's something sometimes not genuine enough about her in a certain way where she doesn't connect as well as other people. And I think that distance, I agree with Robert, there's a certain distance there. And I can tell you, in that campaign headquarters in Brooklyn where she's running their campaign, they have got to be apoplectic now, because what they saw 6 months ago is sort of maybe a little annoyance with Bernie Sanders. A 7-point lead in New Hampshire is a big deal. It has to be dealt with in a real way.
Even though it's New Hampshire. I mean, it's Pennsylvania, let's say.
No, but it means something is going on there. I mean, a lot of my friends say, you know, it's sort of a protest vote and I might just sort of stick it to Hillary by voting for Bernie Sanders. I'll just tell one aside.
Sure.
We used to do a congressman in Western Pennsylvania who was Rick Santorum was running against him. Santorum was a staffer in the Pennsylvania State Senate. He was running a campaign in 1990 for the United States House of Representatives. A few days before the election, the House voted for a 5-cent increase in the gas tax. Our candidate was a guy named Doug Walgren, a very long time. He'd taken John Hines' House seat in the United States House of Representatives. People were angry for 72 hours. A lot of people voted for Santorum. He won by 5,000 votes in an upset. Hundreds of people said, you know, the following weeks in Pittsburgh, if we knew that protest was going to happen, we would never have voted for Santorum. We would have cast our vote for Walgren. But I think that there's a lot of sort of that protest going on now. The right direction, wrong track of the country is in a negative direction. People on the left and right are scared. They're scared legitimately about economically, about how hard it is to be middle class, and about how unsafe the world is right now. The left is expressing its frustration by lashing out at the establishment. The establishment is Hillary. The right is lashing out by expressing their positiveness with Trump, who is anti-establishment. And that's what's going on in America right now.
Do you think, Robert Draper, that Bernie Sanders can beat Hillary Clinton for this job? For this nomination?
Not a chance in hell.
I mean, in spite of all the things we've been saying about Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, are you saying in the end, Robert, you think she will pull this out?
Yes, she will. And I say that at the risk of offending Bernie Sanders, perhaps Donald Trump as well, and some of your listeners, that this is something that he and Trump have in common. I think that as Neil says, and I completely subscribe to what he was saying just a couple of minutes ago, these are protest votes, and it's essentially people luxuriating in the opportunity to have a protest vote. But neither of these guys are going to win the nomination. It will not happen. And the Clinton campaign is formidable. It will raise the money that's necessary. And I think that over time, Democrats, including the Democratic base, will find themselves uncomfortable with some of Senator Sanders' more leftist views. So I think that this is a reflection the high standing that Sanders has on the basic appetite that Americans have right now for someone who will tell it like it is, and thus it's a poor reflection on Hillary Clinton, who is viewed as not telling it like it is. But I don't think that this is any way a proxy for how things will be 7-8 months from now.
But Robert, is he really saying anything that's that radical? He talks about income inequality. I think huge numbers of people in this country are very concerned about that, about the taint of money in politics, about the influence of lobbyists. I mean, to me, those seem like they have become more mainstream ideas.
Right, but they were Bernie Sanders' ideas, you know, some time ago, and he's been espousing them nonstop. You know, that Hillary Clinton has arrived to this party as a late arrival is notable, both for the fact that she's there, but that she arrived late. Bernie Sanders has been saying all this for quite some time, and so I think that it lends him an air of authenticity when we hear this. It feels like this is Bernie Sanders telling us a somewhat uncomfortable truth that he's been, as I say, saying for year after year after year.
Well, and I just had this fantasy of Neil Oxman, of Elizabeth Warren taking on Hillary Clinton. It's a bit of a thought experiment.
I agree with Robert because it's Bernie Sanders. But if somebody a little more mainstream like Elizabeth Warren had been the placeholder instead of Bernie Sanders, saying almost the exact things that he said, but that with the tag of a socialist. I mean, elected mayor of Burlington is a socialist and not being afraid to use that word because it's Vermont and it's not South Carolina. There might be a totally different dynamic. As it is, there is a dynamic right now that is scaring the Clinton people, certainly in the short term, which is how do you deal with this popularity without going crazy negative and turning everybody off and getting into the gutter? I mean, you know, maybe it doesn't go past. I mean, after New Hampshire, you have South Carolina. I don't know how much populism there is in South Carolina to the degree that there is going to be in New Hampshire. And then you get to the big states, so it becomes less of a distraction for them. But they have to deal with this. The Clinton people have to deal with it.
Well, we are talking about politics, the race for the White House on the Democratic side. Neil Oxman, Robert Draper, our guests. We have a lot of people that want to join the conversation. That's great. Phone number 1-888-477-9499. A lot of comments as well. RadioTimes@WHYY.org is the email address. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. I'm toggling back and forth between two screens here. But let me first get Veronica from what she says is Red Country. And Veronica, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I happen to be in Berks County, which is, you know, James Carville carved out the middle part of Pennsylvania as Alabama, between Pittsburgh and Philly. But at any rate, I want to talk about Hillary and Bernie. I'm 74 years old. I'm not one of the young people. And I'm absolutely, along with a number of my friends, mainly from New York and New Jersey, where I used to live, my age or thereabouts, are absolutely pro-Bernie. We are not offended by the fact that he calls himself a socialist. What else was he going to do when the Republicans and conservatives made liberal a dirty word back in the day? But I'm also a feminist. And I campaigned for Obama, especially in the first campaign when it so counted to get Pennsylvania. And actually, in the primaries, Obama lost to Hillary. But I had a hip replacement, and I remember going door to door and having to take a rest by sitting on the curb because my hip was hurting.
You were that passionate.
That. And yet Hillary embodies everything I would want to see in a president. I like her experience. I like how smart she is. It's unfortunate that she's just not a charismatic speaker. But here's my question. Anybody believe that maybe they could be a team, that she could take him on as her vice presidential running mate? I don't know if he'd accept. He's older than she is.
Yeah.
But I think age is becoming just a number these days, and I'm proof of it.
Well, Veronica, I appreciate your call to Radio Times. It's nice when people are passionate about ideas like this. Your thoughts, Neil? And she's saying, look, you don't have to be a millennial to like Bernie Sanders.
No. I saw some of the pictures of the crowds that he's drawn, and it is not you know, a rock concert for the Backstreet Boys. I mean, it's or some other horrible boy group, but it's it is a cross section. It's not people of color. It is almost exclusively white, and a lot of the Democratic primary in the big states and the southern states become people of color. But the interesting thing will be what happens with the female vote when you get to some of these larger states, and does she win the female remember, the largest group of registered voters of both parties in the United States are females, and Democrats have been doing disproportionately well with the female vote. And so when you get to a state like Pennsylvania, 56% of Democratic primary voters in Pennsylvania are female.
Wow.
And that is the way it is with a lot of big states. And to see – the question is, will Hillary overperform with female voters?
Well, to you, Robert, and you've written about the Black Lives Matter activists who have seems like they've kind of targeted Bernie Sanders at a couple of events. And I guess the role that black voters play in this country on the heels of Barack Obama, you know, bringing black voters out in huge numbers. How do you see them playing a role in this upcoming race?
I see their role as being virtually determinative, if not determinative. I mean, after all, Barack Obama won in 2008 and 2012 because of the immensity of African-American turnout, particularly in the battleground states, and where in 2012, for the first time in recorded American history, African-Americans turned out at a greater rate than white voters did. And so the question for Hillary Clinton then is, what happens if she doesn't perform nearly as well amongst those African-American voters? So she'll have to get her votes from somewhere else. Now, we've been talking about women voters, and she's done, she is likely to do much better than Obama with suburban white women. It remains to be seen, though, whether millennials will vote for her, will have the enthusiasm for her that they did for Obama. Latinos have historically underperformed at the polls, and whoever the GOP nominee is almost certain to do better amongst Hispanics than Mitt Romney did. So then we circle back to African American voters, and it becomes a question of whether or not that they have been in 2014. The turnout was heavier than in 2010 in certain states among African Americans. So it would appear that they have been energized. The question is, will they be energized enough by Hillary Clinton to vote for her? And you then also I have to ask, will a Republican pick off some African-American votes? Certainly, it seems more than unlikely that no Republican anytime soon is going to be winning a majority of African-American votes, but they don't need to. If they do, as George W. Bush did in 2004, and get, say, 16% of the African-American vote, as he did in Ohio, that was enough. That basically swung the pivotal state of Ohio to him and arguably gave him the election. So if a Republican could repeat that feat, then Hillary Clinton's in trouble.
Well, but Neil, Hillary Clinton has Bill Clinton. Toni Morrison called him the first black president. I mean, it seems that that's her weapon or her
that. I certainly think, the election is 63 weeks from this coming Tuesday. Another baseball season is going to go by before there's an election. This World Series, next World Series, this entire football season, and half of next year's football season. So there's a lot of stuff to go by. A lot of, so it's a long way away. It is.
But she has Bill.
No, she does have Bill. And the question is, if the Republicans nominate, but it is an electoral college issue. If the Republicans in the end nominate Jeb Bush and John Kasich and really go after Florida and Ohio, then the electoral college becomes as close as it was in Gore v. Bush in 2000. I mean, it really becomes a deal. And certainly Bill Clinton can energize the African-American community. I mean, he does that better than anybody who's not African-American. But he didn't do it for Hillary because she was running against Barack Obama, but he could clearly do it against any of the Republican nominees.
Let me get Carol from Wilmington to join our conversation. Hi, Carol. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say about Hillary, I feel like when I'm watching her, I get this uncanny valley experience where she's almost real, but there's something about her that makes me pull back, like she doesn't believe totally in her message or something, or someone else is crafting the message for her and she has not grasped it fully. And I don't get that experience with Bernie Sanders. And I just feel like he authentically believes in what he's saying. So that's why I like him a lot more than I like Hillary. But at the same time, I recognize that he probably could not win the election. So I just wish that someone would work with her on that so that if I do have to go in a booth and vote for Hillary, I won't feel bad about my vote.
Well, Carol, go ahead. Ask your question. Yeah.
And my question is, Does anybody know why Black Lives Matter is targeting Bernie Sanders? I get what they're doing, but I don't know why they're not doing it across the board.
Two really good points, no, Carol. I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me toss the first one to you, Neil. What she's saying is, can someone work with her? I'm sure you have worked with a lot of candidates to help sort of connect what they say and how they say it.
And I think I think she is, and I assume she's going to debate coaches and that. So, but when you're – I mean, Hillary Clinton is closer to 70 than 60. I mean, she is who she is. I don't think she suffers fools well, the Benghazi hearings. I mean, I think that there's a certain in her private life, I'm sure she's wonderful. I mean,
that's what people say.
And I know a lot of people who know her and say she is. But when she gets on stage, it's just – Amy Poehler did an amazing impression of her for years on Saturday Night Live, and Hillary came on and spoofed herself. Now Kate McKinnon is doing the same thing, and I could actually see dual Hillary Clintons. I mean, but there is something about her that's easy to make fun of and to caricature that's harder to do with some other people. And but I think Carol's put her finger on it. There's, you know, and Veronica, there's certain something that's not quite as genuine as there is with other people. If she starts connecting, you know, it when she cried in 2008 mm-hmm. or got upset at New Hampshire and Obama made this flippant remark, quote, "You're likable enough, Hillary." She went In 3 days, her poll numbers turned around and she won the New Hampshire primary, literally, because mm-hmm. she showed some genuine emotion and Obama made a stupid comment about her. I mean, he said, "You're likable enough, Hillary." I mean, which was really flippant and dumb for him to say. I mean, she's just got to find a way at the defining moments of the campaign to be a little more connecting with real people.
And as you say, we've got another baseball season. There's time. Let's take a very short break. And then, Robert, I would like to put Carol's question to you about why the Black Lives Matter activists have targeted Bernie Sanders.
Sure.
But nonetheless, we have to take a very short break and we'll get back to our conversation. It's Ballot Talks on Radio Times, something we do every Thursday, shedding some light, hopefully, putting the spotlight certainly on political issues. And in this hour of the show, we are talking about the Democrats running for president, talking with Robert Draper. He's an author, writer for the New York Times Magazine, also National Geographic. And Neil Oxman, he's a Democratic political strategist, president of the campaign group headquartered here in Philadelphia. A lot of people want to talk to us, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking about Democratic politics. It looks like we'll be spending the whole hour talking about the race for the nomination for President of the United States among the Democrats. Neil Oxman, Robert Draper, our guests. And I do want to give you a chance, Robert, because I know you've written a bit about this, about why the Black Lives Matter activists have been targeting Bernie Sanders. Essentially, he sort of gave them the stage at two events. Why him?
Well, I think it's because the same Bernie Sanders who we were describing as being attractive to a lot of Democratic voters because he tells it like it is, he doesn't sort of play the usual politics game, it was also the Bernie Sanders that has landed in some trouble with the Black Lives Matter movement because, unlike Martin O'Malley, after the Netroots Nation event when there was that outburst by the African-American activists and owing to the fact that O'Malley had said Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, you know, all lives matter. O'Malley, immediately after the event, sort of scurried to the microphone and offered an apology, you know, saying, "Wow, I'm really sorry. You know, it was insensitive of me." And Sanders hasn't done that. Uh-huh. Now, Sanders has, like all of the Democratic candidates, sort of done the rote incantation of Black Lives Matter in several speeches. But what he has not done is offer these lengthy prescriptions for an issue issues that matter distinctly to the African American electorate, the way that O'Malley has, and for that matter, the way Senator Secretary Clinton has. And so, so that's my best guess as to why they've been picking on him the way they have. But I think, again, further to our ongoing theme, that it's early yet. I think everybody's going to get, you know, is going to hear quite a bit from the Black Lives Matter movement. I don't think that this is one that's going to be going away anytime soon.
And how important do you think that movement is, Neil, for Democratic candidates running for president? The importance of them saying Black Lives Matter.
Well, it's important because Black voters are a significant percentage in some states, lots of states of Democratic they're Democratic primary voters. Now, I mean, the African American population of Vermont is literally 2%. I mean, out of the 800,000 people in Vermont, there are fewer than 20,000 African Americans. It's not like, I mean, it's not a part of Bernie Sanders' world. But as a Democrat, I mean, because he sits with the Democrats, he certainly hears this. And you can't not run in a Democratic primary and not go campaign to Black churches and do what you have to do to meet African American voters and talk about what particular needs there.
Let me read just some comments we have here, and then I do want to get back to our callers. We have a tweet from PJ. Says, in McLuhan media sense, Hillary Rodham Clinton is too hot, and popular media is cool. She shouts from the stage sternly. Email from Joseph. I think the general election has become a reflection of pop culture. Barack Obama tapped into it last time, and Donald Trump is tapping into it now. An email from Ron. How could the Bernie Sanders supporters not see that a Bernie nomination is assuring a Republican presidential win in 2016. An email from Josh. Lawrence Lessig just announced the intention of running as a referendum candidate. Will he affect the dynamic? I mean, there's a lot at play here, Neil.
Yeah, and in the end, a significant percentage of the Democratic convention are these, quote, superdelegates. Congressmen, senators, governors, mayors of big cities, people who have a vote. They're not going to be voting for Bernie Sanders. There are a lot of labor leaders, although I did notice that the National Nurse Association, which is a gigantic national union, did endorse Sanders. Mm-hmm. The teachers have endorsed Hillary. But I think there are enough, you know, among the building trades who will be for her. So I think he will be blocked at the convention in the end. Unless this thing completely explodes, which I don't – I mean, I agree with Robert. I don't think he's going to win the nomination, although 6 months ago you would have said he was less than zero. Now, you know, I don't know what the Vegas odds are, but he's not less than zero. The chances of him winning some of these states are real.
Could you imagine a Donald Trump – Bernie Sanders presidential race?
No, because then there would be a Michael Bloomberg or somebody independent candidacy that would really appeal to people.
Let me get Rebecca from, looks like, Newark, Delaware to join us. Rebecca, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I found myself rather taken aback by the earlier discussion that a vote for Bernie was actually a protest vote against Hillary for many people. I've been speaking with a lot of people about the Bernie campaign, and I can't say I've run across that at all from either side, that either person would be protesting the other person with their vote.
And I'm just curious, Rebecca, is there, of those two candidates, is there one that you like more than the other?
I am a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Do you want to jump in on that, Robert?
Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose I'll say that Sanders has had his supporters like Rebecca and has had them for some time. There are also a lot of people who like what Sanders is saying, but would concede, you know, in polling that they don't think he would win. If you're a Democrat, you like Bernie Sanders, you don't think that he could win in a general election, then it is by its nature a protest vote, and it's not a practical vote. So that's my view of it.
Rebecca, thanks for the call to Radio Times. What I hear, though, from the two of you, perhaps from you, Neil, is that there just are not enough liberals or progressives in the Democratic Party to make Bernie Sanders the nomination.
There certainly are in some states, probably not overall. I think that, you know, half the United States Senate and some of the governors would really be apoplectic if Bernie started winning some of the bigger states, if he got past South Carolina, and he started winning some of the northeastern real industrial states, or Ohio or Michigan, who knows. I didn't want to give the false impression to Rebecca that Bernie's vote is a protest vote against Hillary. I think Bernie votes are protest votes against the direction of the country, the anger people have with Wall Street, the anger people have with big corporations. I mean, all that stuff is there in a positive way for Bernie that are legitimate concerns about America. It's not anti-Hillary. It is anti the fact that almost two-thirds of Americans say the country is moving in the wrong direction. And I think that's the base of his vote. I would bet that among his voters, there are fewer people who think the country is moving in the right direction than the wrong direction.
Let me toss another name out, Robert, then we'll get back to our callers and our comments here.
Sure.
Joe Biden hasn't said anything, but there were some news accounts a couple of weeks ago that he might be considering a run. Of course, you know, still mourning the death of his beloved son, Beau Biden. But is that something that we should even think about or talk about?
Well, it's something that we can think and talk about. Of course, we can talk about anything, but
sure,
but I don't really see how it's going to happen. I mean, I don't see what space he occupies. You can see the airspace that is filled by a Bernie Sanders candidacy. I don't see what the void is that a Joe Biden would field on top of the practical concerns that he would start at zero, in terms of not only fundraising, but also organizational support. And I don't see like a huge migration of strategists from the Clinton campaign over to a Biden candidacy. So the final thing I wanted to add just relating to Sanders is that a CNN poll just came out literally about an hour ago. And it's a poll relating to trustworthiness, and it asked the basic question, who do you find most trustworthy among the Democratic candidates? And Bernie Sanders was ahead. He got 35%, Clinton second at 28%. Interestingly, Biden at 23%, and O'Malley way down the list. I do think, and this is maybe the only area on this program thus far where I disagree a bit with Neil, that I do think to some degree the appeal that Bernie Sanders has is not just a measure of what voters think is wrong with this country relating to issues, but also a measure of the distaste they have for politicians who they believe are untrustworthy. And as we know, Hillary Clinton has had a problem with that, connecting voters not just because, not just for optic reasons, not just because she yells from the stage, but also because they're not really sure they believe her. They don't find her that trustworthy, and this poll is reflective of that.
Any thoughts about Joe Biden?
I think that Joe Biden and Al Gore, who some people are talking about, I think if Clinton's campaign collapsed, maybe party leaders would turn to one of the two of them. I mean, Joe being very old, I don't know whether they would turn to him. I mean, there are some people talking about Gore getting in the race, and I think much more of their support would come from the sort of the Clinton side of the world than necessarily the Sanders side of the world. But unless she collapses, I agree with Robert. I don't know where is it that Biden can go get votes.
I saw that Newt Gingrich called, I guess, the Democratic candidates a gerontocracy. Clinton's 67. Sanders is in his 70s. I guess Joe Biden also in his 70s as well. Interesting little comment from Newt Gingrich. Let me get Mac from, looks like Downingtown, to join us on Radio Times. Mac, go ahead. You're on the air.
This has been addressed already to a certain extent, but if there was a more centrist Republican nominee, is there time for a more centrist Democrat like Jim Webb to get started and get the organization and become a viable candidate? We are a baseball season and a half out.
Well, yeah, and I mean, let me toss that to you, Robert Draper. I mean, there's Martin O'Malley, there's Jim Webb, there's Lincoln Chafee. There are some other declared candidates. Can they make some moves in this race, do you think?
Well, they haven't yet, and I doubt that they will. And you know, in a sense, Hillary Clinton's problem vis-a-vis authenticity, vis-a-vis trustworthiness, kind of speaks also to her abilities, frankly, both Clinton's abilities as triangulators, as people who can move towards and capture a lot of the center. Now, I think there's some dissatisfaction in the center with both parties, frankly, and yet the way our primary system is, the way it's laid out, essentially, it's the activists, the base voters, who really decide the outcome, and the base, unquestionably, in the Democratic Party, the one that's generating the most enthusiasm, and for that matter, the most money, are progressives, and so that money and that enthusiasm is unlikely to drift towards a Webb, who certainly constitutes what you'd call a centrist candidate, but his candidacy thus far has generated almost zero enthusiasm, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Neil, you said something early in the conversation about the role of social media. As we know, candidates spend millions of dollars to put these ads, sometimes wall-to-wall ads, on TV. Is social media going to beat out those ads, do you think?
Well, I clearly think it is the the single biggest – I've said this before on your show. The single biggest predictor of voting, of who's going to vote, is age. Mm-hmm.
And older people vote more.
And older people vote. I mean, the except in presidential campaigns, I mean, where younger people have voted in the last two presidential campaigns, young people don't participate in the non-presidential year, certainly in the odd-numbered elections they never vote compared to – but – in this campaign, something is happening where Bernie Sanders has been able, not only with some of the older callers that have called here, but with a lot of younger voters who talk to each other in different ways. They text each other, their Facebook. I mean, the thousand different things that they do versus passively watching the Channel 6 news at night. That's how they're getting their news. There is a genuine thing. There's a real thing going on out there where people are talking to each other. And by the way, that did happen for Obama.
Yes,
Clinton did not
do
that in 2008. She was really late to that game. The Obama campaign ran circles around Clinton, and the Obama campaign ran circles around the Mitt Romney campaign. The Obama campaign ran a 22nd century campaign. The Romney people ran a 1960s campaign. I mean, literally in the tactical way, the technical stuff that you have to do. Clinton has hired all those Obama people, all those little technocrats that have nothing to do with the general strategizing of the sort of dinosaurs like me. Those are the hundreds of people who work on campaigns now.
Let me get Jeff, final caller, to join the conversation. Jeff, calling us from Hockessin, Delaware. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. I think your guests haven't mentioned once, maybe they did, I wasn't here, that the reason why I don't think Hillary Clinton is going to be president is, for one, she's come down on capitalism like it's a dirty word while she's making, $500,000 a speech. And she's under a criminal investigation right now from the Attorney General's office and the FBI. And I think Bernie Sanders would, if he got the nomination, would not win, because America doesn't need socialism to bring us up. We need capitalism.
Well, let me put your comments to Robert Draper, and I don't believe she's under any kind of criminal investigation.
She's not a target of a criminal investigation,
right.
So
right.
That's false. But it is, but I do think that it's a salient point, and it once again goes to her trustworthiness that Hillary Clinton would say, as she did, that she and that the Clintons were flat broke after they left the presidency, when right now she's worth many millions of dollars, and so I think that presents a real difficulty for her. I must say, though, that in elections, voters have a choice, and simply saying that you don't think she's going to win the presidency, okay, it's an arguable point, but part of the argument has to be someone then will win, and who will that be, and what states will they win that Mitt Romney did not win, and so rather than just the kind of visceral unlikability that the caller may find Hillary Clinton to be, the bottom line is someone's going to have to beat her. Someone's going to have to prove that they can win the battleground states that Obama won in the last two cycles.
We're almost out of time here. In fact, we are, Neil. But, I mean, can rich people be liberals, be progressives?
Sure they can. But that was a really dumb thing for her to say, given the state of what the country. Certainly she would take that comment back.
Well, my thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Robert Draper, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And he's a writer, author, writes for the New York Times Magazine and for National Geographic. Neil Oxman, thank you very much as well.
Thank you, Marty.
And he is the president of the campaign group here in Philadelphia. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. You can find out much more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Listen to us on satellite radio, channel 122. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. And do stay with us. We'll be right back.